We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with an advertisement in the Drumfield Advertiser, read by Charlotte Green.
Welcome to Polash Balti House. All meals specially prepared using natural organic ingredients. Spend £12.50 and receive a free bottle of wind.
Thanks to Pauline Wilson of Drumfield for that. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Linda Smith, and our newcomer, John Sargent. And placing them on my left, Alan Corran and Jeremy Hardy. Linda, what did Ron Ron Dadu Ron Wrong Wrong?
Well, as far as I could see, he was went for a walk. This is Ron Davis, Welsh Secretary, as was. Went for a walk on Clapham Common, met this sort of old Rasta bloke, had a chat with him for a couple of minutes. Bloke said, oh, do you want to come to my house for dinner? And, you know, as can happen. And Ron sort of probably thought for a minute, like, oh, on the one hand, you know, I'm an important member of the government, I'm the Welsh Secretary, I might well be the first minister of the new assembly, I mustn't embarrass the government, I mustn't do anything silly. On the other hand, I could murder some rice and peas. So off he goes to Brixton and had his car nicked, all went horribly wrong. And then the next thing I saw was my teammate here, John, interviewing him, where he looked like he just had this glazed look. He looked like some sort of poor hostage.
That was me or
not, yeah. You, John, no. He looked like a hostage that's been paraded in front of the cameras to explain how well-treated he's being. You know? Imagined Alistair Campbell in the background with an Armalite saying, that's right, just keep talking, then no one gets hurt. Was that the situation?
It was like that. I kept thinking that at 6 o'clock you've got a lot of children listening. Now, we've explained the whole President Fenton business to them. Now they're asking... what about Clapham Common? And we say, well... You know, people play there during the day. But the difficulty is, as you pointed out, I mean, all we know definitely is this food fetish problem. And I don't think we can take it much further than that. I mean, there is this
meal. The Sun has taken it further than that. They've decided what happened because they've got their usual gay druid orgy ice Stedford robe lifter type of kind of thing.
There's another great Welsh parliamentarian, Lloyd George, who said if you want to test the temper of the English people, you must talk to the man on the Clapham omnibus. And I thought... I think it was difficult for the Prime Minister because, obviously, Ron Davis made clear that he wanted the punishment first, not the explanation. And that's what's been confusing us all week, I think.
Yes, the resignation came as a terrible shock to Ron Davis's followers in the tiny mining communities of South Wales. They refuse to believe he might be gay. As far as they're concerned, they say he'll always be one of the village people. Good, 2 points to Linda. John, who'll soon be flying home at the taxpayers' expense?
Ah, this is General Pinochet, and I think this is one of those extremely important problems, which is to do with the status of the VIP lounge at Heathrow Airport. Now, you know and I know, Simon, what it's actually like. It's not a very distinguished building.
Isn't it?
But when you're there... Hold on, I've been there with you, haven't I? Now, as far as I can understand the ruling in the High Court, is that if you're a mass murderer and you're there, it's okay as long as you're a head of state.
I think I was carrying a little sign on a pole saying Mr. Sargent's car, wasn't it?
Is it now the case that no head of state can ever be charged with anything and President Clinton will be exposing himself to British tourists and getting off? Queen will go on shoplifting sprees.
Lawyers for Pinochet, one of the few dictators living in South America who wasn't born in Germany, argued if the extradition was approved, then the Queen could be extradited for trial to Ireland, Jacques Chirac to North Africa due to his French activities in Algeria, and Clinton for crimes committed with Cubans. 2 points to John. Jeremy, whose report has been represented out of all proportion?
Oh, this is proportional representation. John was trying to explain this on The World at One on Thursday, and I'm sorry, but I did lose the will to live after about 2 seconds. And I know it's all very important because it's all about the method that we use to choose between the range of lacklustre, management-obsessed, centre-right bores whom we have to choose from.
But John, you're still with us in spite of having to think about proposing.
No, I just fall asleep for a moment there. I just nodded off at that. People tend to say that about PR, whereas I think it's a fantastically interesting subject. And I think we could, Johnny, will have longer programmes on it.
The launch of the report went very well, though there was an unfortunate incident when Roy Jenkins tried to describe it as one of his highest ranking achievements.
Oh, it never failed. Never failed.
Right, he talks to Jeremy Allen. Listen to this.
So what happens now? So what happens now? Where am I going to? Where am I going to?
Another suitcase, another hole. Judy Collins, Allen, whose promise of no more argy-bargy was an article of faith.
This terrific girl turned up. With legs up to her earlobes, you see, and this tiny miniskirt and a flat hat, and I thought, this is wonderful. It turned out to be young Menem, who's come in with her father. And the father was this rather short, dull man who has either apologised or not apologised. He is suffering from what one might call Clapham syndrome, as far as explaining things. So Menem expressed regret for the war, but he wasn't sorry. So one can only assume expressing regret means it's a pity we lost, we should have killed more of you.
Didn't apologise for letting the Tories win the next election and saddle us with them for the next 15 years.
Thatcher wasn't asked for the reconciliation either, which is rather a pity. I had this vision of this woman coming down on him with a handbag saying, apologise! Apologise! While his little teeth wrap around his head.
So, like Menem and his daughter, that's like Menem and her. Do-do-do-do. Sorry, I just had to...
President Menem appeared several times on British television but turned down the chance to appear with Noel Edmonds, saying he still remembers what happened when the last Argentinian head of state was on the receiving end of a gotcha. Scores at the end of round one are Linda and John 4, but Alan and Jeremy 4. And we start round two, traditionally all square, with a feature on Robson Green's new series, which appeared in the Radio Times.
He was appalled when asked to pose for publicity photos in classic builder mode. They wanted us holding hammers and showing our bombs. It's not what the show's about. So it's been a shoot with long days. Are the cracks beginning to show?
Thanks to Mary Golder Hayes of Sittingbourne for that. Linda, who was right royally brought to book?
Oh, yes. It's this new book about the royals by Penny Junor. With all sorts of astonishing revelations, like the fact that Charles and Diana didn't really get on. And the Windsors, they're all mad, sort of a thing. Right old turn up, really. Things like the Queen not wanting Diana to have a state funeral and saying, no, the co-op and a meat tea, that's all she deserves. But there was one astonishing thing, which was the allegation that Diana was some sort of mafia hit woman who wanted Camilla to sleep with the fishes and was going to have her bumped off, really. I suppose you can't really threaten a member of the upper classes by putting a horse's head in their bed, because it's business as usual, really. And so that's what that is.
I think it was a sign really the pantomime season has come a bit earlier than usual. And what people like is the stock characters to do stock things. And I like, when Princess Anne comes on, for her to be really, really cross. And I like the Duke of Edinburgh to come on, be really, really rude to foreigners, you know.
Well, I think you shall have your wish.
Yeah. So what happened here was that we all know that Camilla is meant to be the evil fairy, isn't she? She's meant to be the one who's cast a spell on the prince, so that he won't love the beautiful princess. Now, what was going wrong here was that, as far as I could understand it, Camilla was being portrayed as the fairy godmother, and the prince was being portrayed as Goody Two-Shoes. And the audience didn't like it because they didn't believe it.
Oh, yes, we did.
That one again.
All right, Princess Anne comes on and she's very, very.
No, 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 no.
Evidence he has his good days, he has his bad days. I'm sorry, Simon, he doesn't recognise you, dear.
Let him
finish. I'm a blue tablet.
All right,
his daughter's marvellous. She comes every week. She lives in Chorley. It's a long way.
Penny Junior, a former BBC travel show presenter, stands to make millions, and that's left many of her colleagues green, apart from Judith Chalmers, who remains orange. Jeremy, your music. Jeremy, where did Too Many Cooks spoil the book launch?
Oh, this is good. This is, Delia, who's in a row with, what's his name, Rhodes. Gary Rhodes, him with the old Nigel Kennedy, middle-aged man, can't come to terms with ageing hairstyle. and matching earring. And he savaged her, because she's got this new book or series, or book and series, and she's back to basics, which is called something like How to Make Fire in a Hunter-Gatherer Society. and he said, I hate Delia, she's a boring old patronising bag, and I hate all other TV chefs. And then someone whispered to him that his reward card was going to be confiscated. Anyway, it's all been made up now, and she's still doing this very boring series about meringue.
You saw it.
I saw a bit about meringue. I wandered into
you
the room.
You know.
She was doing it, but she was whipping this meringue.
Oh, that's why you went in.
In a Charlotte kind of way. and she was talking dirty to me.
She said, I'm whipping it to stiff peaks, she said. She said, you don't want a peak that softens and curls.
That's right.
Said, exciting. The way she handled eggs, you wouldn't believe. Brought tears to my eyes. Don't like watching cookery programmes with my legs crossed. Now,
I think it was all to do with audience research that they know perfectly well they can't boil eggs, but where the genius of Delia Smith came into all this was that she worked out they couldn't boil water. So the first programme was all about what you do. You have a special aluminium saucepan and you put water in it and you put it carefully on the stove. Now, the programme wasn't long enough for you to see the water actually boiling, so she then said, this is one I boiled earlier. and at the end of the programme, she said, and next week we put the egg in.
Mr. Rhodes subsequently tried to pour oil on troubled waters, but Delia pointed out that was no way to make mayonnaise. Alan, who's oldly going where young men have gone before?
This is John Glenn, who's 77 and has been sent into orbit to see what happens to old men in orbit. So they'll... and what he will do, he'll go outside the capsule on one of those things and not remember what he's there for. So... and if you're listening, John, here's a tip. When you take your dentures out at night, put them in a glass and fix the glass on the underside of the shelf beside your bed, otherwise they'll float past you.
Bet he's driving the young astronauts with him mad, isn't it? So, of course, when I went up into space, it was space. Look at it now. Ruined. That wasn't there. That satellite you could see for miles.
It's probably a huge tailback of other rockets behind him as he goes.
John Glenn has been given a special astronaut suit that allows him to take his meals through a straw and includes a bag on his side to pee into, so no change from daily life there. And at the end of round two, the scores are still everybody 8 points. And we begin round three with an apology printed in The Sun.
An article about George Michael's new home, published in May 1998, was accompanied by a map of the area and photographs of the mews in which he lives. We're sorry if these identified the whereabouts of his home, as this was not our intention.
Thanks to everyone who sent that in. Linda, who made a dog's dinner of his motor show appearance?
Jeremy Clarkson, the thinking woman's ugly fat bloke. A huge face, doesn't he, Jeremy Clarkson? When he comes on telly, his face takes up the whole screen. Even if you've got widescreen, it's like you're in surround Jeremy Clarkson. He made these remarks about BMW being sort of Nazis and people at Hyundai, Korean workers, not being able to design a good car because they're too busy eating dogs. But the funny thing about it was the response from this man from Hyundai, who said, oh, this old bigoted dog-eating thing, just because a few people in a small section of the Korean population eat dogs now and then, we get this dog... Yeah, you eat one dog and forever you're the dog-eating. One dog you eat. Oh, come on, you've all wondered what they taste like. Don't tell me. Just a good job Roy's not here this week, really, isn't it? He'd be dead upset, what, with Buster and everything.
Roy Hattersley, yes.
Yeah, but if you didn't feed Roy for half an hour or so, I'd say Buster would be toast.
Buster's Diaries by Roy Hattersley are available from all good books. Jeremy Clarkson insisted his comments were justified, especially after it was confirmed that Delia Smith is to host the Korean version of Animal Hospital. John, your piece of music. John, who scored a goal on the net?
I don't know. I mean, are we back to Ron Davis?
No. We know this. Give Linda a chance, because it's their team.
Well, you can give me a chance, but I'm unable to take that chance.
Not the first time you said that to me, either. I think it's a bloke who's just called Junior. And he's extremely unlucky. He's a Brazilian footballer, and rather a good one. And he went on the internet to say he was available. And I think a football team called something like... all those stuff. FC, which is the bottom of the Welsh division... He's given him a job and he's come over and he doesn't know he's not playing for Liverpool. He's got he hasn't got the first idea, but he's now playing for this tiny Welsh team. And he's just called Junior. His father's called Senior. This question concerned a Brazilian footballer who advertised his services on the internet. He hoped to get snapped up by Arsenal or Liverpool, but settled for Riada, who are bottom of the South Wales League. He says he likes it in Wales. Welsh people are very friendly. Only the other day he was knocking a ball around on the common when a complete stranger came up and... Alan, in whose judgment should children neither see nor be seen?
Yeah, it's very unfortunate. It's a high court judge called Sir Kenneth Jones, who was minding his own business, pulling on his stockings and putting his wig on one morning, and there were 38 children looking at him through the curtains. They'd come up their climbing frame. The school next door had got a larger climbing frame in, probably because of demands of the children. They couldn't see the judge with his clothes off. And he's applied for something like a retroactive planning permission, whatever, so they can pull down the climbing frame and the children just have to watch him through the keyhole as usual.
He's a retired judge, isn't he? So how old does that
make him? Doesn't stop
him
pulling his stockings and wig on. It's very hard to get rid of, Linda, once you've started.
77-year-old Sir Kenneth complained that the children could see him lying in bed or standing at the wash basin. Well, at that age, it can be difficult to hold out all the way to the bathroom. And so the scores at the end of round three are excitingly Linda and John with 11, but Alan and Jeremy just in the lead with 13 points. Before we start the final round, here's a clipping from the Irish Independent.
In 1989, a company was set up by two religious congregations to educate prostitutes and provide them with an alternative to earning a living by working the streets. However, Sister Therese says the girls are extremely good at finding their own positions once they've been given the leg up.
Thanks to John Collins of Hanwell, London, for that. Linda, listen to this. was finally laid to rest with a big bang.
Yes, this is this peer of the realm. He's called Lord Newburgh, I don't know, and he was a war hero, and he wanted to be blasted from a cannon, his ashes, blasted from a cannon onto his country estate. And he was quite a lad, actually, in his life, because he escaped from Colditz. So you wonder if he's even really dead, if he's not halfway to Switzerland with some papers forged by Donald Pleasance. But I suppose a bit of... more appropriate if he'd had all the mourners put ashes in their pockets and wander around the grounds. Trickling them out the bottom. So this is it, yeah, very novel funeral.
Don't get this fashion for happy funerals. He said he wanted all his mates to be in a good mood and smile. And this is a very fashionable idea that when you die it's supposed to be a celebration and joyous and everyone laughing. But I want people's lives torn apart when I go. I want to be embalmed and brought out when we have guests.
Yeah, but the signal point that's been missing was it was his son who fired the gun. It was the 8th Lord Newborough that shot the 7th Lord Newborough into the garden. Hey, it's a very strange relationship at home.
Well, time goes on. You can't mourn forever, Alan.
Had there been a wind, his father would have blown back over his son's suit. And he'd have to have gone into Skepsley's and say, can you get my father out of this jacket?
Lord Newborough was famously eccentric. In 1976, he was fined £25 for firing his cannon at a yacht in the Menai Straits, making it the largest amount of damage caused by a cannon and ball since the 1974 Blackpool summer season. John, if you can't stand the heat, why will it now only take you 4 minutes to get out of the kitchen?
Our team has come up with the answer. It's perfectly simple. We know what it is. It's an incredibly fast oven. You thought microwaves were speedy. This is ridiculously speedy. You turn round to put your food in the oven and it's already cooked. It's a new system. Scientists can't explain how it works. But it's like Clapham Common. There are some things you've just got to believe.
Very lucky Lord Newborough's gone, really. I mean, he'd have liked that. I'd just pop the family on a low light, won't you?
Hey, a bit tricky if you wanted something rare as well, wouldn't it? You just have to show it to the oven.
The new Turbo Chef is a turbocharged oven, which its inventor promises can roast a chicken in just 4 minutes. This is marvellous news for people who enjoy a Sunday joint, as no matter how out of it you are, you'll still be able to get a... Jeremy, who came to England 2,000 years ago and took a left turn?
Ah.
Oh, I know.
Well, it's the Romans, wasn't it, 2,000 years, so it's the chariot story.
It's the chariot story.
They found Lambretta tracks in a quarry. Which proved that the Romans drove on the left side of the road, whereas now they drive on both sides of the road. And this is where we got the idea from. Whereas most people thought that driving on the left side of the road was invented by Lord driving on the left side of the road. At the Battle of Driving Test, it was actually Johnny Rome.
Alan, who was saddled with so many tickets to ride they felt out of their depth?
Is it seahorses?
Yes.
Someone decided that seahorses were in danger of becoming extinct. So they got a few male seahorses, and they put them in with a few female seahorses. And the female seahorses wouldn't let them go. And these things were clapped out. And you know what a seahorse is. This is a visual one, listeners. You know what a seahorse looks like. Well, it didn't look like that anymore. They were just lying there flat and sort of played out and flaccid and generally blown through. I don't see why it's extinct, because the seahorse actually lays its head in the Telegraph 15,000 eggs a day. It must cost a fortune on their education when you think about it.
And the male gestates the eggs, doesn't it? The male does everything. Makes the female pregnant, gestates the eggs, brings up the... He does everything. She does nothing. And he doesn't even get a little bunch of seaweed every now and then.
Bet he still gets nagged, though. No, don't gestate the eggs there. I left a note, didn't I? I can't even go shopping without you getting everything wrong.
Yes, it was male seahorses at the Sea Life Centre in Weymouth who were being worn out by over-amorous female seahorses. 2 points to whoever that was, and we reveal the final scores after we've heard the cuttings the teams have brought along. Linda.
Yes, this is sent in by David Casey from Surrey, from the Maltby Mail and News. In a small lads here. Gentleman's white evening jacket, approximate size 42, ideal for cruising.
John.
Right, this is a little item from the Arizona Daily Star, which has been sent to us by John Ellis from Stockton-on-Tees. Thanks very much for that. It's about what happened in Fresno, California. A husband and wife pulled guns on each other and shot it out at a church during a marriage counselling session after he arrived late drinking a beer. Both were wounded. It's a good thing that he had been drinking, because he could have hit her more, said the Reverend Bud Searcy, head of the New Creation Ministries, which runs the counselling sessions. He was a lousy shot.
Jeremy.
You're not going to believe this, but a man came up to me in the street. This is true. A man got out of his car and he gave me this, which the audience will verify, is the instructions from a yo-yo, which is made in China, and the instructions are not very well translated, and it's called the disc yo-yo. Spin shot. Hold the yo-yo on plam and throw it downward strenuously. Face plam downward for a while after throw yo-yo and keep it spin. It will be retracted when lifted up a bit off the wrist. Doggy stroll. To touch down yo-yo on floor, bed gently while it spin quickly and make run on floor. And then there's an exclamation mark with the words, caution to a protector. Read it carefully. These are the warnings. Do not overhaul, neither to throw. Do not roll up the string gun your neck. And finally, replace the string before getting old.
Alan, you're still with us, just.
Cardiff police are worried that 68 rifles and shotguns stolen from a city warehouse may end up in the hands of criminals.
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final score. Linda and John have 16 points, but Alan and Jeremy have just won with 17 points. We'll be back. Goodbye.
Part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Jeremy Hardy, Linda Smith and John Sargent. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson and George Poles. And the producer was John Rolfe.